Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
At your fingertips or at the center of your mind. This is the Doug Steffen Good Day radio program, heard not necessarily just on the radio. If you've got your TuneIn app and you're listening as you put your makeup on, you found a radio station that carries the program and that's how that works. That's cool. Whatever it takes to get you through the day. Whatever gets you through the day. You know that song, Richie, right? Da, 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 da. No, maybe not. Okay.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Nah, that's not... Come on, it's daytime. We don't want to talk about nighttime. The continuing controversy about what the Federal Communication Commission can and can't do, will and won't do, is or isn't doing. You'll recall, perhaps, those of you who are listeners of fashion, last week on a couple of occasions, we're discussing the fine levied against a television station in...
Somewhere in Virginia, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Virginia. Yeah. Yep. So the FCC decided in its wisdom to fine this television station the max. So when I saw this, I wasn't thinking when they tell, I think the first time I told the story, we sort of chuckled about why they had the fine. I figured that the offending story about this ex-porn star joining a local rescue squad was another attempt by the station to pump up its ratings with just a little bit of gratuitous sex on the side. But after looking at the video and looking at the station's response to the FCC inquiry, the story, which began with an incident in July of 2012, the position the station is taking, I think, is legitimate. And what happened, it appears, in the community was that there were people in this, you know, Virginia has a sort of right of center bent to it. Would you say that was fair, Richie?
up in Arlington and Alexandria, just surrounding D.C., it's blue, but the rest of the state is red.
Yeah. Okay. So some of the people in town were not happy to have an ex-porn star on the rescue squad and were trying to get her bounced from the squad. So now comes the story, the bona fide newscast story of this woman being there, and they'd taken the video of her from a website that was questionable. The lower right hand side, I believe, of the screen had an icon, and if you clicked on the icon, it showed a man doing things that are not exactly family friendly, shall we say. So the television station screwed up. Yep. That's true. But it didn't do it purposely or with intent. It was not something that was an intern, didn't know anybody. I mean, we see this all the time. Radio and television, there are a lot of these interns, some of them not even paid. So the clip is very sexually suggestive, no question about it. And so there's no reason to describe what went on, but the outrage and the fine is beyond what's reasonable. Beyond what it isn't, it wasn't. These things should be applied if it's intentional, and even then, one wonders where is our real value set. But to have them go after this station to the max is another example of arbitrary, capricious handling of a situation. That is just too much government. It's way too heavy. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday. A lady who runs a clinic, is an Iranian, came to this country to go to nursing school. She went through nursing school. She was enthralled with a particular problem that people have in this country medically. She set about in her mind to find a solution to it. She did. She started a company with an investor and has made a business out of this particular treatment and done a great job. And she's now being forced into all kinds of declaratory circumstances that will basically eventually put her out of business because of Obamacare. And so she figures that another 3 or 4 years she'll be out of business. And here's somebody who came to this country with a dream, contribute something to the country that's important, and is getting screwed by the country.
My oncologist was going through the same thing where, yeah. I don't know if it's pushing him out of business, but it's making it very hard because every single, when they give me a Tylenol, that gets categorized as one thing. Yeah. When they gave me one of the four drugs that they gave me for the chemotherapy, they each get categorized as another thing. And they had to, you know, upload to their database every single thing.
Yeah.
And exactly everything about said. Me. And he just said, it was, I don't have the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a small office. I don't have the infrastructure to be able to do this for every patient every day.
Ken Kronhaus told me he's costing an extra $40,000 a year.
I mean,
he had a fire layoff. Listen, though, this is what this does. He had to lay off an employee to go to comply with the government mandates. How sick is that? All right, let's lighten it up a little. As a matter of fact, you've heard me talking with the great delight about the new movie that I saw over the weekend called The Wrecking Crew. The producer-director of that film is here to tell us the story about not only the music and his father and the others that were in The Wrecking Crew, but how he was able to get the money to put this production together. That's coming up in a moment or two here on Good Day.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So when Grandma said, when you're mad, count to 10, was she right? Absolutely yes. Here's the neurological science of it. It seems you've got a choice to act. It's called the readiness potential. And even if a desire to act is initiated in the unconscious of your brain, there's a built-in, are you sure you want to do this, brain pop-up message. After you decide to act and right before you do it, the brain initiates a pre-wired 150 millisecond stop and rethink what you're doing opportunity. What's the cheap psychological trick? Even if the devil makes you do it, there's a brain-wired mechanism which will give you a second chance. Grandma was right. Count to 10 is a second chance to stop before you regret it. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
Known as El Presidente, this four-time All-Star won 245 games during a 23-year career and pitched the 13th perfect game in Major League history for the Montreal Expos.
Dennis Martinez has reached the ultimate, a perfect game against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So where is Dennis Martinez now? The first Nicaraguan-born player to appear in the majors, Dennis is an icon back home. The ballpark in Nicaragua's capital is named Dennis Martinez National Stadium. Previously a spring training instructor with the Orioles, Dennis was the Nicaraguan manager in the 2013 World Baseball Classic.
Well, it's a great honor to be able to be selected to be a manager of this ball club. We got a lot of young people. We got a lot of spirit.
Dennis Martinez, El Presidente. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. ABM wonders how many decided to get a personalized license plate only to be turned down because of a government-perceived double meaning. Hang on to your helmets. A related case in Texas, all the way to the Supreme Court. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Texans strong in their belief in freedom of speech. A Lone Star citizen says freedom extends to the written word on license plates. In 2011, Supremes held that burden falls on the viewer to avoid further bombardment by simple eye avertment. Expect the highest court in land to reaffirm. Ban one group, ban them all. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
They say we're young and we don't know. Won't find out till we grow.
As an ex-jock, I can introduce this as a moldy oldie goody goldie from our rusty rack of wrinkle records. Sonny and Cher with their first number one song, but it wasn't just Sonny and Cher. It was Sonny, Cher, and The Wrecking Crew. Denny Tedesco is the producer-director of The Wrecking Crew film, which is out now on limited release. He was the son of Tommy Tedesco, who's one of the most talented guitarists that you could imagine. Here's and you can. I'll prove to you, Denny, that I watched the movie, listening to your father fascinated with the story of how he basically taught himself. And you wonder about all the people. What kind of encouragement is this for young musicians? Here's your father, who has not necessarily a background, but an acumen. What was he 10 when he picked up a guitar for the first time?
It started as a kid, just like any other kid, but he didn't really, until he realized in probably in the early 20s that he had a chance, that's when he really went for it.
Yeah.
But he was all pretty much self. His teacher said he was the worst he ever had.
Yeah, I know. I remember him saying that. But he's not just, the idea of doing this was yours to hold the memory of your father, but all those other greats, there were about 24, 25 in the Wrecking Crew that were pretty much the staples, and among them, one woman.
Right.
I'm trying to remember, was it Elizabeth Kay? What was her?
No, Carol Kay.
Carol Kay, right.
She played bass.
Yeah, she did, which was pretty
interesting. Started off as a guitar player, they went into bass later.
Yeah. So what about you and your dad? What was it like growing up with a father who was so involved in this that it was pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wasn't it, for 10, 12, 14 years?
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing is, I'm born in 61. Dad, some early, or mid-60s, I'm whatever I am, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. But dad went to work like any other dad. I mean, it's a funny thing is, I had no other idea what other dads did. I mean, I knew the kid across the street, dad was an accountant. The other kid across the street, his dad was a carpenter. He had a drill and a hammer and all that other stuff in his car. My dad had a Telecaster, a classical guitar, mandolin, banjo, and an amp in his car. But I didn't know there was a difference.
So when did you first realize what he did was different or special? Did you ever meet any of the people that he'd like to take you around? You never met you never got involved at all in any of the
gigs. Dad always said to me, even when I asked my mom about, hey, when Dad was working with Peggy Lee or in those early days, did you ever, go to those dates? She says, no. Dad always said a plumber doesn't take his wife to work. So, it was strictly about work. So it wasn't, when Dad, I think when I was about 10 years old, when kids told me, hey, your dad's name is on the Partridge Family album. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize, that was important to me.
Yeah.
But didn't realize he had done all those other jobs with,
Denny,
with Sinatra and Beach Boys and stuff.
How did the musicians fare financially? How did all of the Wrecking Crew, being the music behind everything that we heard on the radio and had in our record collection, were they paid fairly?
Very, very well. These guys, basically, as these session players in Los Angeles, they were pretty much union guys. They were double scale. They were in demand. The guys,
they
producers didn't mess with them because they were so much wanted by the artists and the others.
We only have about a minute left. Tell us the story about how you raised the money to produce this film. I think that's a fascinating part of this.
Yeah, I started in 1996. My dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, so I quickly jumped into it. And I'm thinking, we're going to do it on our own and then get some help. And no one would ever help us because they said, you'll never get this made because of how much the music is. And it wasn't we just kept going. And then finally we had it in 2010 after we did the festivals and everything else. We realized the only way to do this is to keep going on our own and get help with donations.
Yeah.
And
so you did a crowdfund.
We did donations.
Good for you. Well, Danny, stay with us for a minute, will you? Please don't go away. Danny Tedesco is with us, the producer of the Wrecking Crew film, which is in limited release right now. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.